The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, October 11th, 2021.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful, beautiful day here in Sonoma County. A little bit windy, but, oh, just always so beautiful to just get up in the morning and just know, hey, another day to be alive, another day to live, and another radio show. Well, I have two special guests today. Joining on me on the phone will be Millie Munson. Millie, along with her brother Milo, are creating a skateboard park project in Monte Rio, California. And you know, I felt as an elder, it's important to support these young people when they engage in something like this. You know, the future, as future activists, I hope it's a real learning experience doing something like this, which Millie will be talking about. And I'm really excited to present it and to support them. Well, another great guest that I am going to have, also joining me on the phone, and I'm really excited about this interview, is Diana Billy Elliott, who is the Executive Director for the Intertribal Council of California, an association designated for the unity of all American Indians. We will be talking about Joe Biden and his announcement that today, October 11, 2021, shall be called Indigenous Peoples Day. This is a step in the right direction, as far as I'm concerned, honoring America's first inhabitants. This recognition in my mind is long overdue. We are a diverse nation. And I want to read a little bit, just a little bit from the proclamation. It's called the Proclamation on Indigenous People Day 2021. October 8, 2021, presidential actions. That's when he wrote it. And today is Indigenous Day, and they're sharing it with Columbus Day. So it's like two holidays in one. And it's a lot of controversy around it, but I think it's long overdue. And let me just read this. Since time immemorial, American Indians, Alaskan Natives, and Native Hawaiians have built vibrant and diverse cultures, safeguarding land, language, spirit, knowledge, and tradition across the generation. On Indigenous Peoples Day, our nation celebrates the invaluable contribution and resilience of Indigenous people, recognizes their inherent sovereignty, and commits to honoring the federal government's trust and treaty obligations to the tribal nations. Wow, what just amazing. This is so long overdue. Listen, there's just one last sentence I want to read. Our country was conceived on a promise, listen to this, of equality and opportunity for all people. A promise that despite the extraordinary progress we have made through the years, we have never fully lived up to it. What an acknowledgement. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that we have taken a first step, and it's about time. But even though it's about time, it happens. It's happening today in 2021. We're evolving. And I'm really looking forward to the interview with Diana to see what her thoughts are on this Memorial Day. Well, I have, you know, I want to send out condolences to the family of my dear friend of mine, Rebecca Zoe Nussbaum. Zoe died suddenly, and I will miss her terribly. And I want, she was one in a million human beings and quite a character, I must admit, and one that will be incredibly missed. Really. So to the family, to the Dustman family, my heart goes out to all of you. But then on the upside, you know, life goes on. Someone passes away, someone is born, you know, and here we have, wow, I had a baby shower on this Sunday for my great granddaughter. And I'm, you know, my granddaughter is going to be having a second great granddaughter for me, Kaya Sierra. She'll be born on November 2nd. I never thought I would make it this far. It's just amazing how life goes on, you know, one generation after another. And, you know, our children are the future, and we must never, never forget about that. You know, I was at the baby shower, and everybody's all excited, you know, and, you know, women are so much more modern. I remember when I was pregnant, I wore this big muumuu, you know, you had to hide it. Ooh, you know, you don't want anybody to see. Now they call it a bump, and they expose it like, just, hey, this is natural. This is life. And so many children coming into the world. And when I looked at the children, when they were all playing, they're so innocent. They're all having a little fun, you know, every once in a while, one of them will fall and they'll start crying. And I just think of all the children across the globe. They all deserve joy and happiness and a good life. And we really need to work towards that. We really do. Well, you know, like we do every week, just thinking about the children. You know, they're our future. You know, they really are. And children learn what they live what they learn. You know, if we teach them love and compassion and understanding and diversity, that's how they experience life. You know, we can't go on hating and dividing one another. I mean, it's time we have to quit. We're living on one planet, and our planet's in peril. And if we don't come together, you know, where there might not be a human species. I mean, I'm sure it's not going to be in my lifetime, but it could be happening. Who knows? You know, who knows what could happen? Well, like we do every Monday, our history is our strength. And I have some really interesting people to talk about. On October 11th, 1984, Dr. Catherine D. Sullivan is the first United States woman astronaut to walk in space during the Challenge flight. So in 1984, we had a woman walking, first woman to walk in space with the Challenge flight. And then let's go back a little bit in time. We're going to go to 1916. On October 16th, 1916, and this was huge, Margaret Sanger opens the first United States birth control clinic in Brooklyn, New York. That was huge, that all of a sudden it was acknowledged that women need to use birth control. It's stunning. It's really stunning to me. And listen, special birthday on October 11th, which is just, that's today. Happy birthday. She was born in 1884, and she made her transition in 1962. One of my heroes, Eleanor Roosevelt, civil rights advocate, feminist, author, world diplomat, former first lady from 1933 to 1945. Roosevelt was an American political figure, diplomat, and activist. She served as the First Lady of the United States from 1933 to 1945 during her husband, President Franklin D. Roosevelt's four terms in office, making her the longest-serving First Lady of the United States. She also spearheaded the writing of the Human Rights Doctrine for the United Nations, and she is definitely one of my heroes. You know, whenever I get a little bit down, or I think I can't go on, or this is ridiculous or whatever, I think of Eleanor Roosevelt and the challenges that she had. And I love this quote of hers. This is a very famous quote. A woman is like a tea bag. You never know how strong it is until it's in hot water. I like that. A woman is like a tea bag. You never know how strong it is until it's in hot water. I know that's the truth. I'm sure ladies, all you ladies can relate to that. And another woman who's having a happy birthday on October 12th, she was born in 1908. She made her transition in 1997, was Ann Petrie. And she was a reporter for the African American newspapers in 1930s. She wrote The Street and she was the first African American novel to sell more than a million copies in 1946. So she was the first woman who was an African woman that was really published. Her book sold, it's called The Street, over a million copies, which was quite a feat back then when it happened in 1946. I mean, we, you know, when you think that today is Indigenous Peoples Day, we have come a long way. At least we are beginning to acknowledge certain things. And once you become aware of it, once you become conscious of it, then you start, the changes start happening. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. Well, we're getting ready for our first interview with Millie Munson, and we're going to take a musical break. And like I always say, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. I was so impressed at these young people and what they're attempting to do, you know, speaking out for climate change and racism and to create a better world, you know. So the song that I'm going to play, and I want to dedicate this to all the young activists, it's called The Greatest Love of All, and it's sung by a woman by the name of Kennedy Holmes. And, you know, you might think, oh, well, these kids are just doing a skateboard. No, the idea is they're active. They saw a problem. They saw something that was happening, and they put their energy into it, and they began to change things and began to reach out to people. And also they're going to be having, we're going to be talking about this, but they actually are going to be having a fundraiser that's going to be happening October 16th, and Millie will talk about that when we bring her on the line. Anyway, let's go ahead, Ken. Let's go ahead and play The Greatest Love of All, and then we will be back with Millie Munson.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on.
Find your strength in love. Oh, my goodness. I love that song. I believe the children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. That's why I chose this song. Well, for you folks just joining in, I want to remind you, my listeners, that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest. Joining me on the phone is Millie Munson, spokesperson for the skateboard park that's happening in Monte Rio, California. Welcome, Millie. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, thank you, Elaine, for having me.
Well, this is really exciting, you know. It's really, really exciting. You know, Millie, I thought we would start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your age, what high school you go to, and what motivated you about getting involved with your brother Milo on this project.
Well, my name is Millie, and I am 17 years old, and I go to Technology High School in Rohnert Park. And my brother and I we started this project because this skate park right now is a little bit small, and we just wanted a little bit more for the children. And we were hoping to put in a bowl because they don't really have any closed bowls in Monterey.
Talk about what is a bowl. Explain that a little bit.
Well, a bowl is, for people who don't know what skateboarding is, there are different types of bowls. There are regular bowls with regular coping, and then there are bigger bowls with pool coping. And that's the same material as what's on the outside of a pool.
Oh.
And it's a little bit, I guess, gnarlier, if that's a word that you can say. And so a bowl is just, it's just like a pool, but you skate inside of it, so it's a little bit less harsh on the inside.
So it's one of those, it's kind of like a round, kind of a round structure where people, they skate around it, like it's like they can go around in a circle and help them balance?
Yeah, it's like a hole in the ground that you put your skateboard into and roll around in it.
Well, you know, talk about why do you think it's important that at this particular time that a skateboarding park should be made available at Monte Rio? What do you think is important about that?
Well, lots of people from all over come to Monte Rio to skate the park because it's pretty unique. There aren't a lot of parks like it. It's very flowy, and it was kind of made with the environment around it. There's trees all over, and it's really beautiful, but it's a little bit confined because lots of people come there, and it's a big circle, and it can get really chaotic, so we were hoping to expand it.
So let me ask you something. I mean, here you are, 17 years old, embarking upon this huge project. I mean, getting something like this in order. Where do you get your motivation, and what are some of the challenges that you faced as you're proceeding with this?
Well, my brother and I think the biggest challenge that we've faced so far is we're both minors, so we don't know a lot about like permitting and all the structural like parts of a project like this. We don't know exactly where to start, so we've had a lot of help from other people in the community, such as the Monte Rio Parks and Recreation Department and our local architect there, and some professional skateboarders too. So I think that's the biggest challenge that we've faced, is knowing exactly what to do next. But we have had so much support from the community there and all the adults that surround us. And so I think that's really great that we're able to be taken seriously about a project like this.
Well, that's amazing. That really is just amazing that you've had, I know you've had a lot of community support. Well, I know you're going to be having a fundraiser. Let's talk a little bit about that. That's going to be happening on October 16th, and it's going to be from 10 to 6 p.m. Talk a little bit about this. This is a fundraiser to expand the Mark, the Monte Rio Skate Park, hopefully to put in a big pool bowl, like you said. Then there'll be music at the amphitheater with local bands, beer, garden, and many vendors. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we are having this fundraiser. It is a fundraiser with music on one part of it, music and food, and then on the other part of the fundraiser, there's going to be a skateboarding competition. And this is for all ages and all genders, and the competition will start at noon. And, but you can, for skateboarders, they can come as early as they want to practice before the competition starts. But we're doing this because I think, because we thought that it would be the best way to raise some money for the skate park. We have to match 20% of a grant, which is $65,000. And so we would need to make, we would need to make around $13,000 at this fundraiser, but hopefully more because we need to, $65,000 is not going to be enough to build the bowl. But it's a great start, and we're hoping to get that money.
Boy, it's always the money, isn't it? It's always the money.
It is.
You got to raise the money. Well, mm-hmm. Is there a website or anything that you have that people can go to, or how can they donate, or how can they find you? Is there any information that you can give us about that?
Yes, I can. So you can donate to the Monterio Parks and Recreation Department, and I will, the district, and I will send you, Elaine, something like that, or a link to that later.
Wow.
Sorry. And you can also donate at the fundraiser directly to, there will be someone in charge there that will be accepting donations. So, we encourage you to come to our fundraiser and just check it out and see what a wonderful community we have there.
Millie, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces and for heading and helping your brother Milo with this wonderful, wonderful project. And I have a contact person, Jason Cool, at 707-889-1599 if folks want to donate or become involved with the project. Is there any last words that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would just like to say thank you so much for being a part of this movement and for supporting women. And this is a great radio show you have going on here, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, I'm happy to have you, and congratulations. You know, it's very important. You know, young people have to understand when you see a problem and all of a sudden you say, hey, wait a minute, what can I do? What can I do to take care of it? And also you take that first step, right, and before you know it, it's happening. And listen, we have to do a shout-out to your father, Joe Munson, who's really been a driving force behind this. Would you say that, Millie?
Of course. Thank you so much, Joe Munson, for motivating me every day and keeping me going on this project, even when things are hard.
You know, well, behind every great woman is a good father, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would.
Well, thank you, Millie Munson. Thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces. And just to remind our listeners, the date for the skateboard is October 16th from 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And it's going to be at the Monte Rio Skate Park and Amphitheater. And there are suggested donations. And to come on out and watch what these kids do with the skateboards and also to support this project. And like I said at the beginning, you know, this is a first step for activism. When you have young people like this that get involved, they can see success, and all of a sudden they're going to take the next step and then the next step. And before you know it, they're just doing things that are just phenomenal. So thank you so much, Millie. And we are going to take another musical break before we have our next guest on, which is Diana Elliot, I'm really, really looking forward to talking with her. I mean, it's just going to be an amazing, amazing conversation. The song that I'm going to be playing is a song called Let There Be Peace, and it's sung by one of my favorite singers from Becky Hobbs from her album Nia Hey, The Beloved Women of the Cherokee. It's from a play of her great-great-great-great-great-five great-grandmothers, and it really talks a little bit about her and how she was born and some of the struggles that the Native Americans have gone through. It's just an amazing song. So let's go ahead and play that. And like I said, when we come back, we will be talking to Diana Billy Elliott, who is the executive deputy for the Intertribal Council of California, an association designed for the unity of all American Indians. So let's go ahead, Ken, and play that.
In a field of corn, in the land of the Cherokee. I did my chores, but I knew there was more than my eyes could see. I married young, he was brave and strong, but he died. His place, but I vowed someday that we would live in peace. Let there be peace, let there be love, let life fly free as the morning dove. Let every heart hear this song I sing. Let there let there be peace. The wars raged on to the warrior's song, but a change whispered through the wind. The white man's heart beats the same as ours. When will we understand? Children died and the white wolf cried, all ye people, lay down your guns. It's time to lead our hearts to peace, that we may live as one. Let there be peace, let there be love, let life fly. There be
expressing, let there be love, let there be peace. How much beautiful, more beautiful can you express something? Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And joining me on the phone is Diana Billy Elliott, who is the Executive Director for the International Council of California. Welcome, Diana. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hi, Elaine. I want to correct you. I'm actually not the executive director. I am the deputy director, and it's for the Intertribal Council of California.
Oh, my goodness. I switched it. Instead of executive, in deputy director, I put executive director. My apologies. Well, you know, I'm really welcome you to Women's Spaces. And, you know, today is a very exciting day, I'm sure, for you, which is President Biden named as Indigenous Peoples Day. And, you know, unfortunately, we were not connected as well as I would have liked us. And I kind of missed your bio. So tell us a little bit about you, Diana. Tell us a little background, who you are, and how you got involved in this type of work.
All right. Thank you, Elaine. So like you had mentioned, my name is Diana Billy Elliott. I am the Deputy Director for the Intertribal Council of California. I'm also a tribal leader for my people, which are the Hopland Band of Pomo Indians. I've been with the organization since 2018. I attended Humboldt State University from the years of 2014 to 2018. Where I received both of my undergraduate and graduate degrees in social work. You know, Elaine, my passion is to advocate for Native American people and provide services that will ultimately empower them and enhance the lives of our Indigenous people. One of the main programs that we operate for, the Intertribal Council of California, which is also known as the ITCC, is the Family Violence Prevention Program. Our program provides much-needed resources and education surrounding domestic violence that takes place within the family unit. And with our organization, we have a main office, which is called our central office, which is located in Roseville, California. And then we have many satellite offices that we have domestic violence tribal advocates throughout our state.
What are some of the challenges that you face developing this program that you're involved in?
Okay, so I didn't develop this program. I want to say that first and foremost. This program was already developed by the ITCC, but I will speak about some of the challenges. So definitely some of the challenges that are involved with this type of work that we do is really making sure that our people, Indigenous people, have what they need when they need it, right? Like there's a lot of barriers that take place as far as lack of transportation, lack of internet, you know, lack of being able to obtain these much needed resources. And so our organization and program, we take our services to the tribal communities, and we meet our, you know, our clients wherever they need to be met, whether it's on the reservation, off the reservation. And with us comes our emergency services that we provide when somebody is experiencing domestic violence.
Well, you know, here in Sonoma County, we're actually celebrating Domestic Violence Week. We have a program called the Family Justice Center. In fact, I just went on a tour, and it was just amazing all the different programs that are being set up of late, that at least there's some awareness at this point. And, you know, another awareness that I think is important to talk about along with your programs, you know, about a lot of this information about young Native American women that are missing. How does your program interact with that issue?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for bringing that up, Elaine, because I don't feel that, you know, when it comes to Indigenous women that have gone missing or murdered, that there's not enough national attention to it. And so, you know, we actually do have a girl from the Round Valley area, which is in the Covelo area. Her name is Khadijah Britton, and she has been missing for the last few years. And you know, it's been very hard, not only on her individual, her tribal community, but all of us in the surrounding areas. This affects all of our people. Not, you know, it does affect the families and the community that the individual comes out of, but it really affects the entire, you know, Indian country. And so one of the ways that we, you know, our organization spreads awareness as it pertains to the missing and murdered Indigenous women. We're making sure that people, you know, are aware that this is an issue that takes place with Indigenous women and others. And we want to just make sure that the awareness continues to be, you know, talked about. You know, these mothers, sisters, aunties, grandmothers, you know, and even men, they go missing and murdered as well, Native men. You know, we want to make sure that we're keeping the conversation going, keeping the awareness going, and making sure that, you know, these families know that their loved ones are not forgotten about.
Well, you know, people need to recognize that, you know, stuff like this going on, you know, it might be happening to the Native American group, but it can happen to any group. That's why you have to solve where it's happening so it doesn't spread. And it just, I don't understand. Why do you think there's not as much attention to this? I mean, even from women's group that should be happening. How do you feel we could raise the awareness a little bit better?
You know, honestly, I think just keeping the conversation going and making sure that, you know, the attention that has been given to other groups also pertain to Indigenous people. I think, you know, that when somebody goes missing or murdered, no matter who they are, that it affects, you know, the family and the community.
Right.
And it's, you know, I honestly don't have the answer as to why the awareness isn't at a level where it needs to be as it pertains to Indigenous people.
Well, let's look a little bit, you know, what's happening today about President Biden calling this Indigenous Peoples Day. Do you think something going forward with this kind of action, do you think that helps awareness? I mean, I know for myself, when all of a sudden I found out all this, you know, that this was happening and I start doing research, I thought, oh my God, I start reading about the missing women and all kinds of things came up. So talk about what it means, how this October 11th named as Indigenous People. What does that mean to you, and how is that going to impact the Native American community? Do you feel it's going to make any changes?
So, first of all, I would like to say that Native American people, you know, when it comes to, you know, Columbus Day, that is something that we've never acknowledged. We've never acknowledged Columbus Day. And now that October 11th has been named Indigenous Peoples Day by President Biden, you know, I feel that was a really nice gesture. You know, I can't speak of, you know, how it will affect other Native American people. But, you know, again, I'm appreciative of it. And I think that it was a nice gesture, you know, moving forward to acknowledge this day as Indigenous Peoples Day.
At least, you know, to you know, when I read the first part of it, I read the first part of the proclamation, and one of the things that I found very interesting is that they actually admitted that they never lived up to the treaties and stuff that they had promised in the past. And I thought, this is amazing. I mean, if we can just continue to move forward, where another administration comes in and all of a sudden all that goes down the tube. Well, also, you know, when you're looking at your own organization, what are the challenges? I mean, this is quite an honor, and I can see that, you know, there's some ambivalence. You know, of course, it's a good idea, but let's see how we can move forward. So what are some of the challenges that your organization is facing today, and how can folks help? How can they become more involved?
Okay, so some of the challenges that you know, we face is that as Native American people, we have, you know, the highest rates straight across the board as it pertains to domestic violence, mental health, substance abuse, lack of education or job skills, all these different things that, you know, are issues throughout Indian country. And I think another big portion of that is the underreported, you know, the cases that pertain to domestic violence and Indigenous people, they're underreported. A lot of times people will not report that the domestic violence is taking place, you know, to authorities. You know, we do get phone calls, you know, from people that are in need of assistance, emergency services, like emergency housing or emergency clothing or food or diapers for the children and so on. And so I think those are some of the issues. And I believe that the reporting, the under-reporting is one of the main things that stems, you know, from these issues.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I find when it comes to women, Indigenous people, you know, any homeless, there's always underreporting. I mean, it's just it's a phenomenal to me. Sometimes I believe that the media wants us to believe that we live in this wonderful little bubble when we don't. You know, I mean, it's kind of interesting. Well, what are some other things that you feel are important for folks to know about the Intertribal Council of California? What are some of their missions, and what are some of the accomplishments that you are particularly proud of?
So one of the main things that I'm particularly proud of, most recently we opened the very first in our ITCC history, Native Americans Women's Shelter as it pertains to domestic violence. We're in the process of moving forward with another first in our history, which is the Mending Basket Resource Center, Native American Resource Center. I also know that we are just now beginning a men's wellness component, which will contain men's wellness and prevention resources before domestic violence occurs, education and prevention. I do want to say that, you know, all of this work that we are doing at Intertribal Council of California, we couldn't do it without the help of tribal leaders and the tribes that we serve. So I always want to make sure that we're acknowledging our tribes and the tribal people that we serve. I think that there's many more services that are going to come out of all these different programs that we're beginning. And I just want to say that, you know, one of the things at ITCC, we promote the equity and justice in education, health, social services, economic development, cultural preservation, and environmental stewardship. We're always advocating for safety and protection of tribal children and their families. And we also carry on the legacy of uniting tribal people throughout the state of California and building for future generations.
Amazing. Amazing. A lot to be proud of. Lots to be proud of. Well, any last words that you have? We're coming to the end of our segment. Any last words that you might have? Anything that you'd like to share with the people? Any websites? How can people support you? Anything that you feel, Diana, is important, just be my guest.
Sure, and that's just, you know, knowing that we do have a Sonoma County Tribal Domestic Violence Advocate, and her brochures are being passed out throughout the county and her business cards. And, you know, ultimately, we're here to empower our Native American people. We're here to lift them up. And we're here to provide much-needed resources and services as it pertains to education surrounding domestic violence that takes place within the family unit.
Do you have a website or anything that folks can come to and how they can get a hold of you if they have any questions?
Sure. Let me see. I think it's the ITCC website. Yeah, it's on the internet.
You're saying it's on the internet, Joe?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And how is it listed?
It's Intertribal Council of California.
Oh, and you just go on the internet. And how? Any way to get in contact with you, or is that the way they do it?
Sure. You know, I can also be reached at dianabe@itccinc.org, and we would forward any requests or the need for somebody to get in touch with any of the counties, Lake County, Mendocino County, or Sonoma County domestic violence advocates. If they want to send an email or reach out to us, we will definitely connect them with the appropriate person in their area.
Well, Diana Billy Elliott, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces. This has been a very informative interview, and I want to wish you a happy Indigenous Peoples Day. I mean, this is a historic moment for both of us right now.
Yes, thank you so much, Elaine, for having me on. I appreciate your time, and I thank you for what you're doing.
Well, I want to share one thing with my listeners. This was the shortest notice I've ever given anybody. Diana and I just met at the Family Justice Center, and I knew right away. I said, I just have to have you on the air. So thank you so much, and I want to wish you all the success in the world, and know that if there's any announcements or anything that you need, that KBBF here over here and Women's Spaces is, so to say, on your side. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Elaine. You enjoy the rest of Indigenous Peoples Day.
Thank you. Wow, what a great interview. I'm telling you, people are just amazing to me. They just really are. There are so many wonderful things going on. And I really appreciate that Diana came on and gave us all that wonderful information. And it's just really exciting to me to be able to do the interview, especially because it is Indigenous Peoples Day. And we're doing something very, very different and acknowledging our Native American brothers and sisters. Very important. And
very important to be aware about some of these young women missing. I mean, we all need to pay attention to that. Because, you know, if something happens to one person's child, it can happen to anybody's challenge child. Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different here. There's a song that I just love. It's called Light a Candle, and it was written by Neil Young. And I want us to listen to the song, and I want to talk a little bit about it. I just want to discuss it a little bit. I think it's one of these songs that has really impacted me when I think about all the words, every word in that is mentioned in the song. It's very, very impacting to me. So I'm going to ask Ken, let's play that Light a Candle. And I decided to play it by Neil Young himself, because the way he articulates it's very easy for one to understand the words. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about it, because I think it's very important, you know. And the idea of lighting a candle for peace. What if every day we lit a candle for peace, or once a week we lit a candle for peace, and everybody out there just made a little bit of a, like, this candle is for peace, and put peace out in the air? Maybe, who knows what could happen, I mean, on a metaphysical level. But I want you to listen to this song. I want you to listen to the lyrics. It's very, very important. And when we come back, we go ahead and talk about it. So you want to go ahead and play Light a Candle? I have to say this. This is one of my favorite. I play this song so much that I almost know it by heart. So let's go ahead, Ken. Play Light a Candle, and we're going to be introducing Neil Young singing it.
Instead of cursing the darkness, light a candle for where we're going. There's something ahead worth looking for. When the light of time is on us, we will see our moment come, and the living soul inside will carry on. It's a chance to give new meaning to every move we make, through the caverns and the caves where we come from. The light of dawn is on us. We will see what we can be, and the ancient ones can sleep an easy sleep. In the hallways of the ages, on the road to history, what we do now will always be with us. It's a chance to give new meaning to every move we make, in the caverns and the caves where we come from. In the darkness, light a candle for where we're going. There's something ahead worth looking for. When the light of time is on us, we will see our moment come, and the living soul inside will carry on. Light a candle in the darkness, so others might see ahead. Light a candle in the darkness when you go.
Oh my goodness, that song just gives me the chills. You know, I love this first line. Instead of cursing the darkness, and you know, we're living in some dark times, light a candle for where we're going. There's something ahead worth fighting for. Think about that. There's something ahead worth fighting for. And I think that's very important because it's the future. We're always kind of looking into the future. And then I love this one, the hallways of the ages on the road to history. What we do now will always be with us. What we do now will always be with us. That's why it's so important that we pay attention to the environment, that we start doing things that fit, or really take care of one another and take care of the planet. And then here, when the light of time is on us, you will see our moment come, and the living soul inside us will carry on. That, to me, really expresses kind of when you're aging, you know, and all of a sudden you really see your place and you start moving forward. And then it's a chance to give new meaning to every move we make in the cavern, in the cave, where we come from. When I first read that line, for some reason I started thinking about what it was like when we human beings start walking across the land, you know, out of the caves, you know, if we're supposedly the first humans were born in Africa, and they had to cross the continent, they had to go to different places. You know, I often wonder, you know, did they wear shoes? You know, how did their feet survive walking? You know, and all the different inventions they had to make in order to be able to move forward. So, you know, it's a chance to have new meaning for every move we make in the cavern, in the caves where we come from. You know, that deep understanding that as human beings that we have really come a long way. And then I like this, light a candle in the darkness so others might see ahead. You know, there are so many people out there that, you know, when you start thinking about it, you know, you just, where are they getting their information? There's so much misinformation. There's so much confusion out there, so much frustration, so much anger, you know, and so much denial. You know, so the idea of lighting a candle to support others so they can see ahead. So maybe, you know, I think about what happened on January 6th, that these people were breaking into our government. What were they hoping to achieve? I mean, when I think about it, you know, what were they fighting for? Were they fighting to enhance democracy, or were they fighting to destroy it? You know, we all have to work together. You know, I love that. Light a candle in the darkness so others might see ahead. Light a candle in the darkness when you go. What an amazing thought. Well, I really appreciate this song more than I can say. You know, it just gives me hope for some reason. And also, I think as far as Neil Young goes, I think this is one of the most beautiful pieces of poetry that I've read in a long time. And I'd like to do something a little bit different, and that is talking about, I have a candle in front of me, it's a picture, it says, a call to action. You know, I'd like to read this little poem. Humbly I call to thee, great cosmic energy, come to my side and be my guide with all the richness you provide. I will keep my head up and my heart open as my desires to you are spoken. I call to thee, profound energy. Fill me with motivation and winning strategy. Come to my side and be my guide. I call to thee, cosmic energy. What a beautiful thought. And that's what I see this song. I see this song as presenting cosmic energy, introducing us to cosmic energy, introducing us to a different way of thinking. And the light of the candle, to me, is the light of hope, the light of promise. So I'm going to end today's show with a quick poem. You know, I just love doing this show. I want to thank all my listeners for all the support that they give for Women's Spaces. I also want to remind people that I was blessed to be able to speak at the Women's Rally on October 2nd, and I want you to know that it's on my website, www.womenspaces.com. You can actually listen to the speech, share it with other people. It has to do with the pledge that we do at the end of, the last Monday every month. And I want you to let your friends know, to share it, to think about what I'm saying. It's very, very interesting. And so I'm going to end with this poem because I just think it's absolutely wonderful. When we went to the shower, we were all talking about our hair. So let's go. I'm more than my hair. I have come to declare I am aware I am more than my hair. A simple statement, but listen, I have lived for decades obsessed by my do. I thought that hearing the words, I love you, I want you, I need you, you're beautiful, was all connected to my hair. From hairdresser to hairdresser, I would go, hoping to look good and make a good show so some special man would know I am beautiful enough and worthy enough to ask for a date, to ask for a kiss. All they had to do was see the beauty of my hair. At a workshop, sighing in the mirror, eyes questioning, what am I to do? I left my gel at home. Where's the brush, the special one that makes waves in my hair stand up tall? It's been rough, it's been tough. No more, I declare, for I'm more than my hair. I am that I am, and what I am is grand. Well, folks, think about that one. Well, you've been listening to Women's Faces, and my name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I've been your host. And I want to do a special thank you to Millie Munson and to remind you about the October 16th rally that will be happening with the skateboard in Monte Rio. It'll be on our website, www.womenspaces.com. And also a special thank you to Diana Billy Elliott from the Intertribal Association of California. I want to thank her for being on Women's Spaces. And once again, happy Indigenous Day to all our Indigenous brothers and sisters out there. It's been a long time coming, but it's here. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, October 11th, 2021.